And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I am talking about this show. Whew. Goes like from Huntsville all the way back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And y'all even got big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Notice how I say that? Mississippi. I say Mississippi,
Mississippi.
Boy. Yeah, you don't do every syllable. It's mm-mm. Mississippi. I got some text messages I'll catch up on here momentarily. I tell you what, let me do that real quick. I'll just do that real quick. TL from Huntsville says, excellent monologue, Phil. Thank you, sir. Says, a true leader has the confidence. This is a quote, by the way. A true leader has the confidence to stand alone, the courage to make tough decisions, the compassion to listen to the needs of others. He does not set out to be a leader, but he becomes one by the equality of his actions and the integrity of his intent. That's Douglas MacArthur. TL's always got the quotes, man.
I wonder if these are all in his memory or if he's like, if he's got a book or something.
Either way, he knew where to find it.
Yeah.
He also said, I think Trump fits this description and he inspires others to stand together in the battle, stay in the fight. Absolutely. Allie from Athens says, Colonel, while I understand that squaring one's shoulders is largely symbolic here, that action has served to save lives, and I will explain. Said, when traffickers were trying to steal trying to target 12 and 13-year-olds by trolling at places like shopping malls, they'll approach a young lady and give her a compliment. And if she squares her shoulders and looks them in the eye, says thank you, and moves on, they know she's not a good target. If she slumps her shoulders, looks down, and then lingers, they know they got her. Maybe someone needs to hear that today as well. Squaring one's shoulders really is a thing. Thank you for this monologue. Wow, Allie. Wow. Good stuff. Shag Nasty the Atheist checking in. Shag Nasty, what have you sent me? Shag Nasty sends me this, Trump deletes the nationwide database on police misconduct. Okay, what's your source on that? Reddit? That's your source? That's your source? Shag Nasty, come on.
Hey, but at least he's still listening, so maybe not all hope is lost on Shag
that's
Nasty.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe Shag we can Nasty, wear on him.
That's right. Stay with us. We love you in spite of yourself. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, did you hear that more than 370,000 Tesla vehicles have been recalled due to power steering issues? I had not heard that. By the way, JP, after Alabama lost to Missouri on Wednesday night, 110-98, I no longer have them winning the March Madness tournament.
Hey, you know what? This weekend's a bounce back weekend. Okay, we're too good to be in a slump for too long.
Sounds like we're going into JP on sports already.
Yeah. And good. I prefer to be under the radar.
Okay. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys, too, in a few minutes, we had to call a bit of an audible. So some of y'all know I was on News Nation the other day, and they wanted me in midday, and that's not going to happen very often, but they actually called and asked for me to come back on today. Huh, how do I do this? Well, I cloned myself. That's what we did. So I have now cloned myself. I'll be in two places at one time.
You can't tell them the technology we have here. We are supposed to keep that under wraps.
Don't tell them. Anyway, the bottom line is this. There will be, coming up here in a little bit, a section of the show that we pre-recorded. Those of y'all listening on radio or watching the live stream, you won't even know the difference. I'm even going to wear the same shirt. So, all that to say, pre-record is going to take over part of the show just for a short amount of time, and I'll be back. You won't know the difference, but I will be on News Nation coming up at the 3 o'clock hour for a few minutes on a military panel. So, looking forward to that and thankful for the opportunity. And then, last one before I go to the topics. John from Brownsboro said, I just spent 2 weeks dealing with my addiction and the resulting health issues that were threatening. Well, John, listen, I hope you're well and blessings on you, man. And you square your shoulders to that problem right there and do not let up. So stay in the fight. All right. Listen, I got an audio clip here. This is Stephen Miller, who is the, I believe, the deputy chief of staff to the president, one of his senior advisors. There are times when I almost can't listen to Stephen Miller because he gets so animated and hyped up. You're thinking the guy's got way, way, way too much Red Bull in him. But no, this time he comes to the microphone. He very calmly, cogently, and very efficiently dismantles the press with a civics lesson on all of their complaints. Let's go ahead and play Stephen Miller at a presser at the White House. Go.
It is true that many of the people in this room for 4 years failed to cover the fact that Joe Biden was mentally incompetent and was not running the country. It is also true that many people in this room who have used this talking point that Elon is not elected fail to understand how government works. So I'm glad for the opportunity for a brief civics lesson. A president is elected by the whole American people. He's the only official in the entire government that is elected by the entire nation, right? Judges are appointed, members of Congress are elected at the district or state level. Just one man. And the Constitution, Article 2, has a clause known as the vesting clause, and it says the executive power shall be vested in a president, singular. The whole will of democracy is imbued into the elected president. That president then appoints staff to then impose that democratic will onto the government. The threat to democracy, indeed the existential threat to democracy, is the unelected bureaucracy of lifetime tenured civil servants who believe they answer to no one, who believe they can do whatever they want without consequence, who believe they can set their own agenda no matter what Americans vote for. So Americans vote for radical FBI reform, and FBI agents say they don't want to change. Or Americans vote for radical reform on our energy policies, but EPA bureaucrats say they don't want to change. Or Americans vote to end DEI, racist DEI policies, and lawyers of the Department of Justice say they don't want to change. What President Trump is doing is he is removing federal bureaucrats who are defying democracy by failing to implement his lawful orders, which are the will of the whole American people.
That is an epic dismantling of the mainstream media who sits there every day chicken-littling the topics like, aren't you afraid? I mean, people are losing their jobs. Isn't this mean? I get it. On the one hand, you don't want to see anybody lose their job. At the same time, you have to also recognize that the executive branch is called upon to most efficiently and effectively, for the betterment of the entire nation, run the federal government. That's the role of the chief executive. And that also means he has to make hard decisions sometimes. I mean, they had no trouble at all telling us that the private sector was essential versus non-essential during COVID, did they? They didn't have any trouble at all telling us that they were going to spend our money on LGBTQ versions of Sesame Street in Iraq. They had no trouble at all telling us that climate change was the existential threat to America and downgrading our military readiness to pursue climate issues. But yet, the press questions Republicans when they begin to make actual, cogent, reasonable decisions. I've got a piece here from townhall.com that points out that everything Trump is doing is being challenged in court, except he winds up winning on some of them, and they don't want to deal with that. Right now, you got a piece of Town Hall, Dateline, last night. Lawsuits, well, guess what? U.S. District Judge Christopher Cooper, who is, by the way, an Obama appointee, delivered a victory for the president and his administration. All of these mass firings he's talking about, or the layoffs, or the reduction in force, Cooper ruled the unions brought it in the wrong forum. They don't have the luxury of bringing it to court right now. He ruled they're going to have to go to the Federal Labor Relations Authority, meaning Trump's actions stand for now because they chose the wrong forum to fight it. It doesn't mean they won't prevail eventually on the merits. It doesn't mean that they had a good case or not a good case. What he said is, you're fighting in the wrong place, and I'm not going to let you do that. So what that means is Trump is already moving forward as best he can, doing the things he knows he can. They're not even fighting in the right forum right now. They are so on their heels that they are completely caught off guard by the idea that when they even try to challenge what he's doing, they don't do it in the right way. And yet they're going to call out Trump for making these decisions. Now, what other things are happening? So in a minute, I'm going to talk about the budget bill that basically came out of an all-night Senate session. Pretty epic. But I can tell you right now, we're watching this across the board. Like, for instance, Daily Wire. Pam Bondi just fired an attorney, a general counsel for the Bureau of ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. ATF senior counsel Pamela Hicks was relieved of her duties and escorted from the building. What? Yes. She even posted, earlier today, I was served notice from the AG of the United States that I was being removed from my position. Yada, yada, yada. Yep. And I had the privilege of serving. Thank you for your 28 years. Yes. But Gun Owners of America point out that she presided over nearly every Second Amendment infringement during the Biden administration that there was. And so is she gone? Yes. And she should be. She does not seem to align herself with the principles and the rules and the goals of the current administration. How about this one? Change in policy. The new Secretary of Energy, that'd be Energy Secretary Chris Wright, just announced, oh, by the way, that global warming, climate change is not the existential threat. It is not, in his words, near the world's biggest problem. Y'all, it is a whole new day. He said this. He said, everything was a trade-off. But yeah, there's pluses to global warming. Pluses? There's pluses to global warming? There's pluses to global warming. He said, but the bottom line is it's nowhere near the world's biggest problem, not even close. He said, net zero 2050, that's a sinister goal. It's a terrible goal. He said, the aggressive pursuit of it. He said, you're sitting in a country right now that has aggressively pursued the net zero goal. It's delivered no benefits, but it's delivered tremendous costs. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and we'll talk about what happened with the budget bills last night, because that in itself is epic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so listen, I got to have a discussion here for a few minutes about several things. And I started off the show telling you that Dipper number one was on budget bills and more. And I tell you what I love is the fact that there's an and more. I mean, this is not a single-faceted Trump administration, not by a long... He's, you know, Biden liked to say, we're using the whole-of-government approach. And it was like, dump-de-dump-de-dum. And it was there were times when it was a frenzy, and there are other times when it was like, oh, we called a lid on the day at 7 o'clock. It never happens with the Trump administration. Not for a second. That being said, all of what I call the Trump team, and that's all of his appointments, his cabinet officials, his advisors, they are all like gainfully employed. And what's really interesting is they are constantly in front of the press, constantly. Now, granted, they all have to be in sync and on the same message, right? And I've seen the press already trying to divide like Pete Hegseth from Michael Waltz, the national security advisor. I've seen them already trying to get Caroline Leavitt to say something different than what Pam Bondi said. But what I've noticed is they all stay on message, but they're also all being given the ability to stand in front of the press, and they do it on a regular basis. And that's just, y'all, that's a whole new day. I mean, before, how many times did we see, and I'm going to say her name, you haven't had to hear it in a while, Karine Jean-Pierre get up there with the notebook, and she would read something from the notebook on page 3, and then she would take issue, and she would look like she hated her job, and then she would say something schmarmy, and she would leave the room. We're watching right now as they're catching Michael Waltz out on the White House lawn. They got Caroline Leavitt in the press. They got the press being allowed in to see the president in the Oval Office and to free range questions. And then they also catch him again when he's on Air Force One. He comes back to the press section of the plane and has discussions. This is every single day. But here's something else. And I wanted to touch on this for a minute. What we're also watching is, for the first time, Republicans, as a broad spectrum, seem to actually be working in a cohesive manner. Last night, if you're not familiar, last night the U.S. Senate knuckled down and pulled a late-nighter. And I don't mean like, well, Phil, what's so hard about... What's hard about that is when you're debating bills, you got to be ready for votes, and y'all don't realize they don't sit in the chamber the entire time. They have to go back to their offices and then run back to the Senate chamber to make a vote, which is not close. It's through a tunnel and about a half mile away. So this happens nonstop. Well, last night, and I got a piece here from Daily Signal. Last night, the Senate GOP chose not to back down from Democrats. Now, I'll be honest, I was one of the first ones to say I am not wild about John Thune being the majority leader in the Senate. I wanted someone else who I felt like was gamier, somebody who had a little more Freedom Caucus style to him. I thought John Thune was establishment, and he may wind up later on proving that that's the case. But John Thune did push through the Senate GOP's budget reconciliation bill. Both of your U.S. senators in Alabama and all of them in Tennessee voted for the bill. So what we're looking at right now is a piece of legislation that came out after an all-night session that puts the vast majority of the Trump legislative agenda in play. Because executive orders are great, but until you've got congressional authority attached to something for the president to sign, it's not law. It can be undone. It can be reversed. It can be sometimes ignored and then have to be reinterpreted in the courts. But once it becomes the law because Congress passed it, it's a whole new ball game. So the piece that I've got from Daily Signal talks about the fact that the Senate GOP did not back down. The piece that I picked up here, Dateline this morning, from Fox News, talks about the all-night session in the Senate at a 52-48 vote, with Senator Rand Paul being the only one who withheld his vote to pass a piece of legislation that secures the border with funding, implements the border and immigration policies that Trump has asked for, helps put money back into rebuilding our military, and creates what they call an energy dominance for this country. Now, that's nothing but good. Now, here's the one caveat. I've been very open about saying that I preferred the House version. Why? Because the House version also had the Trump tax cuts built in. For reasons I don't fully understand, the Senate chose not to do the tax cuts in the same bill. They say they're going to do a separate bill. My concern is that by doing two bills, you run the risk of something not happening. But the Senate believed that they couldn't get it all passed with the tax cuts attached to it, which means there's some Republicans that are still not on board with that. Meanwhile, the House has got the so-called big, beautiful one bill. And that's still in play as we speak. If they wind up passing the big, beautiful one bill in the House and they decide to go ahead and marry the two, then there will have to be a second round of debate. What could also happen, though, is this just, I'll be honest with you, this is a little bit of gamesmanship. The Senate just put the House on notice. Hey, House, we just passed most of what you want to do. You can pick up ours and pass it right now. And they could, and the president could sign it next week. I mean, they could literally, well, it'd be quicker than that because it's not quite that quick because it has to go through committee. But that bill is now being transmitted from the all-night session the Senate held. I mean, like in the chamber for hours, with Democrats trying to get all kinds of amendments put on to weaken it. But the bill came through. It now gets transmitted to the House. It goes through committee process. If they choose to take up the Senate version, this could be over with pretty soon. And then we're back to looking at, let's get the Trump tax cuts put in place permanently. Like, let's don't do the sunset on them. Let's say we're done with screwing around on this. We want tax cuts to last forever. Anyway, all that happened last night. I love seeing Republicans actually work, because you may say, but Trump wanted the whole bill and the Senate didn't give it to him. That's not saying they weren't pushing the agenda. It's saying they're pushing it in a different fashion, but they did push the agenda. I mean, I'm excited right now. Securing the border, beefing up the military for readiness purposes, and creating energy dominance. Look, you add the Trump tax cut to that later on, and your right side radio guy here is going to be really, really happy. So anyway, listen, this is big doings. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be taking up some time, getting away from culture and politics, going to be doing some JP on sports. So yeah, you guys, listen, stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, okay, so like a second audible, like an audible upon an audible. so I'm not on News Nation at the moment because they shifted that time to 3:30, which is fine because it's all gonna work out. But now I'm highly overdressed for radio.
I was about to say, yeah. Like last segment, you were in a pullover, and now you're in a coat and
and a snappy shirt.
Yeah,
like what Charlene would call a snappy shirt.
But thankfully we got the clone of you and the pullover ready in the closet.
It's all about the clone. So you can clone yourself, you can get a lot done.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of cloning. All right, so we're going to continue this thread though we're on about the budget bill and more. All right, so the budget bill. And more. So the and more is intriguing. Like, for instance, JP, did you see last night our favorite Argentinian president giving it looked like a silver-plated chainsaw to Musk? Did you see that?
Do you mean this guy?
Afuera! Afuera! That's it.
Yes, I did. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Skibbity. He says, afuera! So, yeah, that's... That was hilarious. In fact, but what was funny more than anything was Musk's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he had just been given the greatest gift ever.
This is a guy that's worth the most of any human being in the world, and yet he got excited with a chainsaw.
Now, what I couldn't tell was a chainsaw. Was it engraved? Did it have some kind of a?
Yeah, I think I don't know what messages was, but it looked like it was a special made chainsaw. Yeah.
Well, that one needs to be in a glass case in the Doge office.
Yeah, I would say frame it in the Doge office.
Come on. But that's part of the more, right? That it is amazing to me how much is happening, and it's like we talked about on the air yesterday. Like JP and I, we sort of like this is our job, right? This is we're supposed to keep up. It's hard to keep up. I was saying earlier, I looked at Trump on a video screen, and you know the man looks tired, and we need him to get some rest once in a while. I mean, for 4 years, I was like, are you kidding me? Biden called another lid. I'm ready for Trump to call a lid just to have himself an afternoon to catch up.
I mean, the only speed he knows is full throttle from literally his whole life. That's how he became such a successful businessman.
Yeah.
That's why he's a good president. But yeah, I agree. He's got a good team around him that if he did just take like a day to just chill, I feel like everybody would help him with that.
Well, and I'm an early riser, me personally. Today, I actually overslept. I slept past 5. I don't know how to explain it. But this guy, I mean, he's going and going and going. But one of the things I also, part of the and more, the budget bill and more, which we're talking about, is I almost think he's unchained right now. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's like, okay, the filter that may have been on during the first term, even that's gone. For instance, I have noticed more than once he is willing to call out other elected officials to their face, almost like he's on the debate stage having to face a presidential candidate or a nominee for a primary run. We saw that with the mayor of LA, where he didn't give her any quarter right there in the room. We see that with the way he calls the press out when they try to ask him something erroneous or ridiculous. And it happened again today. With the governor of Maine, you're the one that brought that by attention. What you enjoyed that too, didn't you?
It's a pretty epic clip. Yeah, it's funny.
Okay, so to give you some background, Trump had a mass gathering in the White House, and there were a lot of other governors and cabinet officials there for a big luncheon, and Trump addressed the crowd, and then he realized the governor of Maine was in the room. And he was talking about his order banning transgender dudes in women's sports. And then, can you hear it pretty good in the sound clip you've got?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay, this is President Trump and the Governor Janet Mills of Maine. Go ahead.
I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Well,
are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
Well, we are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor because I don't think you'll be in elected politics. Every state has a responsibility to comply with Title IX. They have an obligation, a legal obligation, and we'll be enforcing aggressively, and we're going to be protecting our citizens. We're going to protect. So just to...
So I guess, fair warning, if you're going to lunch at the White House, make sure you have an exit strategy.
And don't go toe-to-toe with Trump because he will win.
Yeah, especially when he's got a microphone and you don't.
Yeah.
You're sitting in the back of the room going, I'm here.
Yep.
I mean, when that's your response, I'm here.
I think she said, dang right I am, or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, those of us on the right side of politics are loving this moment. This is what we asked for. This is what we voted for. Now, there's a lot of things happening, and not everything is going perfectly, but the fact is they're still squaring off their shoulders. Like I said in my monologue, they're still squaring off their shoulders and working to get her done. And it's not like a little bit. It's a lot. I mean, they are doing something every single minute of every day. And it's exactly what we voted for. So what I'm seeing on social media right now is this massive trend towards Trump said this and we shouldn't let it happen, or Trump's going to fire everybody, or everybody's going to quit at this department, or the world's going to come to an end. And listen, you know what? No, it's not. We're going to be here tomorrow. We are. We're going to be here tomorrow, and we may have a streamlined government, and we may have some waste, fraud, and abuse that's been dealt with, and we may have some people who don't have their jobs who have one today. But the reality is, that's what you do when you run a business. And I don't mean like you ax people. That's not what I'm saying. But what you do is you look at the big picture and you decide, how do I keep the trains running? And in essence, you've got the president of the United States, an elected government official, now making private sector style business decisions. And that has not happened in DC in God knows when. Well, at least not since he was in office. How about that?
Since what? 2016. Yeah.
Yeah, at least to 2020.
Yeah.
All right, more to come. By the way, I will tell you this. There was breaking news a moment ago. Pete Hegseth say that the terminations at the Pentagon, some of those are on hold while they review the legalities. In other words, he's saying, we're going to do it right. We're going to do it right. But if we can let somebody that needs to let go, we're going to find our way to do it, but we're also not going to do it willy-nilly. So let's keep that in mind. The other thing that also happened, and this is part of what I had in my stack of stuff, is Pam Bondi, Attorney General, says she has the Epstein client list sitting on her desk right now. Right now. Look, we've been asking for that for, what year did he allegedly kill himself in his cell?
2021? I believe, off the top of my head.
All I know is, this is amazing to me, and I understand if there's something
2019,
that,
by the way.
2019? It's amazing to me that this has happened, and I think there's going to be people that are embarrassed, and I recognize that there is a potential for creating a defamation case if you release someone's name and implicate them in something they had nothing to do with. But the truth of the matter is, this is something that the public needs to know. Who within our sphere of influence was corrupt, was participating in some of the most heinous crimes like child trafficking? All that in the Diddy list too. I don't know. What do you think? Is Epstein list going to come out and ruin some careers?
Trump promise, cash promise, Pam Bondi promise, and apparently it's on the track to do that. So I hope so. But what I hope is we don't get a list release with a bunch of redacted stuff in it, you know?
Yeah.
That's just what I hope. But yeah, I feel like the deep state is on the ropes, if not down and out already, with Kash Patel, and you know, it's awesome.
I'm wondering how many foreign heads of state are on that list.
Mm.
I'm wondering how many Hollywood influencers are on that list. I wonder how many big name money people in the Democrat machine are on that list.
Well, the public, I think the big form guy, public one that has been accused of being on it, what was it, the former prince, I can't remember his name, of in England.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew, yeah. So we'll see. It's nuts.
Well, she says, Attorney General Pam Bondi, it's sitting on my desk right now to review. It's been a directive by President Trump. Okay, that's right. It was an executive order, wasn't it? She also says she's reviewing the JFK and the MLK files, which the president also ordered to be released. And she goes, it's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president. When asked if she had seen anything, Bondi replied, not yet. In other words, it's sitting on her desk. She's going to be getting to it. But y'all, I mean, the guy, yeah, he dies in federal custody in 2019, 6 years ago, and we're not able to see the list. Well, apparently we are now. And let's go ahead and just believe that it's the real list. How about that? Text messages. Text them in. Call them in. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And we'll get that input. I'll be stepping out momentarily, but you won't know the difference. I'm going to be jumping on to the News Nation for an interview on military personnel issues. So I will be right back in. We'll have some JP on sports coming up bottom of the hour. And then I got to tell you, today being Friday, The latest edition of Right Click is out. So Birdman's podcast, Right Click. Listen, we got a lot of podcasts. We got a lot of content. Right Side Media is the parent company. It is just what we do, man. And y'all, it's because of y'all. Because all of this, let me just tell you, I'll give you a quick testimony. All of this started with me sitting at my law firm desk with a microphone, wondering if anybody was listening. And now here we are just 4 years later. 4 years this month, I got the call. 4 years later, and we've got a company that now has a full-time radio show syndicated across multiple states, an op-ed that goes out to like 18 different newspapers around the region, and then five separate video podcasts. We got a merchandise store that's selling hats and t-shirts and coffee mugs and highball glasses and all of it. And every bit of that, y'all, is God's grace and your attention. So thank you very much. We appreciate it more than you could possibly know. All right, I'm stepping out. I'm going to be on TV. I'll come right back and be on radio. That's what I do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.